Hello, it's Thursday, July 2nd. Welcome to Level Up with Dani. I'm your hostess, Dani Stockham. I am not radio ready. I have very kind of clunky earrings on, so my headphones are ill-fitting. I have my reading glasses on because all of a sudden I am not seeing very well, so my headphones are ill-fitting. But you know what? I'm here. Today's topic is a little tricky. I want to talk about sexual health as we age, sexual health as a form of our overall wellness. I think focusing on my wellness while I'm aging has brought a lot of things into focus that I previously either was unaware of or ignored. So I want to talk about how our bodies change, how our relationships change, but how our need for intimacy doesn't disappear. I did an entire show already on intimacy and talked a lot about this kind of thing, but I think today this is a little different. So we're talking about something many people think about, but few people talk about, and few people talk about it openly, and that's sexual health as we age. So whether you're 35, 55, or 75, intimacy matters. It's about far more than the sexual act. It's about connection, confidence, physical health, emotional safety, and feeling desired, even by yourself. The truth is, aging doesn't end our sexuality. It simply changes the conversation. Now, if you know me, you already know this. If you listen to my show, you already know this. If you're new to the show, I have two daughters, two grown daughters. And for many years, I would say to them when they were younger, and even recently, I guess, you have 40 years to work at your career. You have 40 years to have sex. You don't need to rush either one of these. And I really do believe that. I believe that kids put a lot of pressure on themselves to get started with sex. And college graduates put a lot of pressure on themselves to get started with their careers. And your whatever it is, your career or your sexual behavior, you're going to be doing it for about 40 years. And it's better to be thoughtful about that than to just say, check the box. Because whatever you do for 40 years, whatever you decide to put effort into for 40 years, like, you need to be paying attention. You need to be taking care of that. And the vehicle that we use in our career and in our sexual life is our body. So how does this change over the 40 years that we're going to be using it for these two things? I think when it comes to sexual health, we stop talking about it because society celebrates young sexuality but ignores older adults. Many people believe declining intimacy is just part of aging. And I hear this with a lot of stuff. It's just part of aging. This is what happens. I'm sorry, but this is what happens. You need to expect this. Don't be shocked by it. Also, there's embarrassment around it. It keeps couples from asking questions, from sharing with your partner, this is what's happening with me. I don't like the way it's making me feel. How does it make you feel? Like, we're embarrassed to have those conversations. But again, let me restate what I've already stated. In many cases, you've made a commitment, decades, hopefully, of a commitment of being with one person, and you should be at a place or comfortable enough to ask these questions and not feel embarrassed. And even doctors often wait for patients to bring it up. when you go in to see your doctor, they say, you know, how are you feeling? How's your blood pressure? Have you been taking your blood pressure? You know, how's your exercise? How's your physical activity? They don't say things like, how's it going in the bedroom? Because people have embarrassment around that, and doctors probably don't want to put you in the position to be uncomfortable. So why are we comfortable discussing heart health but uncomfortable discussing sexual health? I mean, why? It's the same body. It's the same vehicle that holds your heart and holds your sexuality. And what messages did you grow up hearing about sex after middle age? I mean, when I was young, I thought old people were like in their 40s and 50s. And I was like, no way they're having sex. I don't even want to think about them having sex. That's gross. Well, I'm 63. I don't want you to think about me having sex, but I'd like to think about having sex. I'm not too old for that. And I think we get these messages when we grow up, you know, that old and sex don't go together. And probably this wouldn't even be a conversation if I wasn't old, but I am. So that's a bummer. But I'm still here. A lot of things change for women around sex, and men are clueless. Our husbands, our sexual partners, our families, they're clueless about the changes, about menopause, how it lowers our estrogen, how it creates an uncomfortable environment with vaginal dryness, pain with intercourse, changes in our libido, not to mention our body confidence, because the body changes in menopause. We don't feel as sexy. We don't feel as desirable. Things that used to be easy, you know, just kicking down on the couch for a session, takes preparation now, because we have to create the perfect environment and perhaps the perfect pillow support or whatever it is. Like, there's things that have to go into it. It's not as spontaneous as it was when we were younger, before menopause. For men, there's erectile dysfunction. There's testosterone changes. There's a longer recovery time. You're not going to go back to back to back unless you're on the V pill, which you're on the V pill because you need it. So, I mean, what if you were on the same level as your loving partner and it just takes longer? It's okay. I don't know any 60-year-old women that are like, let's do it for an hour and a half, back to back. No. Poke my eyes out with a dull fork. Men also suffer from performance anxiety, and there's prostate health issues. These are normal biological changes. These are not personal failures. I was listening to this podcast the other day because I love this kind of information. Information is power, and I like to have it in my brain. And this woman, this sex doctor, sexual health doctor, was talking about erectile dysfunction in men. And she was saying that it goes with the age. So men in their 50s, 50% of men in their 50s have erectile dysfunction. I thought that number was high, but I thought it was high because of all the lies and the ways that we can get around erectile dysfunction. 60% of 60-year-olds have erectile dysfunction, 70% of 70-year-olds, on and on and on. Erectile dysfunction is a precursor or a predictor of a cardiac event. If you suffer from erectile dysfunction for 7 years, you are predicting a cardiac event within the next 7 years. So think about that. If you started experiencing erectile dysfunction, let's just throw out at 52, you started experiencing erectile dysfunction, not every time, but it was happening. And by the time you're 59, so almost 60, you're still suffering from erectile dysfunction. Within 7 years, you will have a cardiac event. This is a predictor. There is a calculation for it. It's real. So, wives, women, lovers, this is important for men because men, first of all, they don't tell the truth about it. And second of all, they're not calculating the time frame. So if you love someone who is suffering from erectile dysfunction, a normal biological change, not a personal failure, you better get it on the calendar. So that's heavy. That is heavy. Now, something else that I heard on this podcast was about what happened. So the woman's going through menopause and, you know, her libido is lower and her sexual environment down there is not ready at the drop of a hat. It needs to be prepared, whether that's lubricants or whatever. It's painful, so it can't just be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, you need to be taking time and all the things. Like, these are things that are important. And your husband is having performance anxiety because it used to just be like, I'm ready, let's go. And now it takes a minute, maybe a little help from Viagra, whatever it is. So the whole sexual experience is different. However, it's, again, all part of the same human setup. This can be connected to heart disease. This can be connected to diabetes, to blood pressure, to depression, to anxiety, to sleep issues, to medications you might be taking for any one of these things I just listed, to alcohol consumption. All of these things affect our sexual health. This is very clinical. These are clinical facts. But our bodies are a machine. And in order to keep it lubricated and running at optimal levels, we got to take care of the whole thing from the top of our head to the tip of our toes. And I think the dialogue in marriages as we age has to evolve to include this. And it needs to be thoughtful. And it needs to be without embarrassment. I heard a quote a long time ago. I'm going to say 25 years ago. But it stuck with me. And it was, the best sex is in your head. And what that meant to me then and what it means to me now is we all have these touch points, these times in our lives where we had a sexual encounter, whether that was with our current partner, our long-term husband, or in our fast, free, fancy 20s. Some encounter that imprinted us. It's in our head, like we can relive the whole thing from the first kiss to the final breath to the afterglow. That's the best sex. It's in your head. So if we know that that exists, that that part of sex is very mental and that there's an emotional component, doesn't it make sense? The mind-body connection is not separate in sex, that it's connected. So if your mind is, I'm so stressed, oh my God, this hurts, I can't say that, I don't feel good, I feel so fat, oh my gosh, what if I can't stay hard? What if, you know, she seems like she's in pain? All of these things are in your head. They are also in your body. If you're in a relationship and you love your partner, you just have to talk about these things. You have to say, and this is not like, oh, it's okay, or oh my gosh, this never happens. That's not the response. The response is, okay, what's going on here? Let's talk about it. Tell me where you are. What's happening? I don't know. It sounds easy. It's not easy, but it's necessary if you want to continue to have good sexual health, which is a very important part of overall wellness. Your clitoris and your penis will shrink over time if you don't use them. These are biological facts. I'm sorry. That is blunt. That is frank. That is fact. Okay? Now, sex is about way more than parking the car in the garage. It's about touch. It's about affection, the kissing, the holding hands, the emotional vulnerability, laughing together, date nights, feeling emotionally safe. These parts of intimacy build up to the actual act. I saw this thing the other day. It was like, you need to take 10 minutes at the end of every week. So whatever, what's the end of your week? Is it Saturday or is it Friday? It doesn't matter. 10 minutes. You sit down with your partner and you say, what are 5 things that I did this week that really made you mad? What are 5 things that I did this week that made you happy? What are 5 things that I did this week that really turned you on, that you thought, she's a turn on right now or he's a turn on right now? If you can take 10 minutes to sit down with your partner and do those things, those categories, I mean, it'll make you want to write notes during the week. Such a turn on. That was so hot. I loved watching you, whatever it is, clean the windows, take out the trash. I don't know. I mean, it's different things for different people. They're not all sexually related. The way you grabbed my hand when we were crossing the street, when you started laughing, talking about our first date, that was such a turn on for me. Those kind of things, like, aren't our relationships worth 10 minutes a week? Like, what if we started doing that? When was the last time you intentionally connected with your partner without a phone, without the TV on, no distractions, just eye to eye, you to them, them to you, and list your 15 things, 5 things you didn't like, 5 things you did like, and 5 things that could wind you up in the bedroom, have it a session. I mean, come on. So the only song I wanted to play was the George Michael song, Let's Talk About Sex, Baby, Let's Talk About You and Me. But I'm not playing that song. I'm playing some other songs. I find, and I think a lot of people agree with this, that music can really put you in the mood. Not just in the mood like the sexual mood, but just like the loving, intimate mood. Like you want to be with someone when you hear this song. You want to hug them. You want to hold them. If it evolves to sex, that's fine. You know, sometimes, you know, the head massage or the back massage turns into the sex massage. That happens. But there's music that can trigger this. And for me, just talking about me, I think you'll be shocked at what the songs are. So I'm going to play my first one, and then I'm going to do some radio business, and then we're going to get into the guts of this business. Okay, you guys are going to laugh at me. Some of you will. Some of you will be like, that's very on brand for Danny, and I can't help it. But this song, I want to cry when I hear it, but I also want to be with someone when I hear it. Not someone. I want to be with my husband. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. Even the music is a vibe. And when will I hold?
took me away to long rocky beaches, and you by the bay. We started a story whose end must now wait. And tell me, when will our eyes meet? When can I?
Love that song. That song is such a vibe. It's such a passionate, the music, the crescendo. Stop it. I love it. That's Barry Manilow, in case you're not hip to the vibe of the Barry Manilow Band. Okay, let's do this.
This is KOWS LP, Occidental, 92.5 FM, serving Santa Rosa and West Sonoma County for 18 years. We are streaming to the world at KOWSFM.com from our studios in Santa Rosa. Visit our website to listen, donate, or volunteer. And you can also download the Radio Rethink streaming app from the App Store. Our email address is kows@sonic.net. You can also give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/kows.fm.
This is KOWS Occidental California 92.5 FM, streaming at kowsfm.com.
No, I didn't mean to play that twice. That was incorrect. Here's our CALS program promotion announcement. We're talking about The Trip. The Trip is your one-stop journey back to the most creative and innovative decade of the last century. The 1960s music scene was rich and varied as the decade it defined, and it's an era that Gary Sherwood celebrates every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 here on KOWS. From the Sunset Strip to Haight-Ashbury, the Brill Building sound, and the Greenwich Village folk movement, all the way to the brass and sass of Motown, Memphis, and the Liverpool and Manchester's clubs that brought us the British Wave. The Trip has it all. Listen on Saturdays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on KOWS LP Occidental. Always streaming at kowsfm.com. Current events. Casey Turner presents invites you to experience music, dining, drink, and a good time with friends and neighbors. Some great music is coming your way at Hop Monk Novato, located at 224 Vintage Way in Novato. There's some great sounds in store over the next couple of months. For more details and visit and ticket information, visit hopmonk.com/Novato. The next show is July 31st at 6 p.m., the Cookout Series. Eileen Jewell will be performing. That's hopmonk.com/Novato. PSA, when looking for rental housing, you probably won't hear comments like, the apartment is still available, unless you have children or a disability. Housing discrimination is rarely this obvious, but it's just as real and just as illegal. If you suspect discrimination or differential treatment, contact Fair Housing Advocates of Northern California if you suspect any discrimination. 415-457-5025. That is our radio business. All right, back to sexual health. So what helps? What helps us stay sexually healthy? Guess what the number one thing is? Exercise. Exercise is good for everything, but it's also good for blood flow. Strength training. Strength training keeps you strong, helps with your flexibility. For women, pelvic floor therapy. This is a real practice. There's a lot of Pilates movements that work on your pelvic floor. There's a lot of things that you can learn by having a session with a pelvic floor physical therapist. If you feel like that is lacking, there's therapy for that. Good sleep. You have to be well rested. You got to manage your stress. There could be a need for lubricants and moisturizers. This is not a weird thing. This happens over time. Hormones change. Our ability to self-lubricate changes. There's many good ones on the market. Look around. Try some things. See what you can figure out. Hormone therapy, when it's appropriate, for both men and women, whether that's raising testosterone or maintaining estrogen. Sometimes you need to go to counseling. You just need to go to counseling. Whether you have to talk about what's blocking you from being sexually fulfilled, or you have to talk about how your body's changed and what that means to you sexually. And, of course, honest communication, which we've already talked about. There are some things that you should ask your doctor if you're suffering from any kind of deficit in your sexual health. The first question, is this normal? You don't need to ask your doctor. Let me just tell you, it is. No matter what it is, no matter how weird you think it is, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how much you think it's just you, it's not, and it's normal. Could my medications be affecting my libido? Yes. If you're taking medications for depression, anxiety, a multitude of things, it can lower your libido. Should I have my hormone levels checked? That should be job one. It happens for women in menopause. It should be happening for men as well. Are there treatment options? Yes, there are many treatment options. For men, it's so easy. Get some Viagra, live your best life. But there are side effects to that as well. Is pelvic floor therapy appropriate? We talked about that a little bit. And is it safe for me to be sexually active? Well, it's safe if you take care of yourself, if you set your boundaries. And I'm not talking about having a safe word. I'm talking about whatever your boundaries are. Like, we just can't kick our legs up like we used to, or we just can't bend our backs like we used to, or we just can't get tied up like we used to. Whatever it is. I mean, these are just, I'm just off the cuff things, but, you know, take care of yourself. You get to decide. So if the question is it normal to lose interest in sex after menopause? Yes, it is. How do I talk to my partner about erectile dysfunction? Talk to him about erectile dysfunction. Say, dude, what's happening here? I love you. I know this is something that happens with age. I know that a lot of times you have erectile dysfunction that's physical, but it's also impacted by how you're thinking about erectile dysfunction. So you have performance anxiety. Like, discuss it between the two of you. What can I do? Is there anything I can do besides be here and support you and know that however sex looks like for us, whatever, however it shows up for us, that's still sex. We can still be intimate and close and loving. Can medications affect libido? Talked about it already. Is it too late to rebuild intimacy after years of marriage? Never too late. I was watching this other podcast, and the question was, what's normal amount of sex for people to have? And the guy, the podcaster, said, I don't know. What is normal? And what if one partner wants sex more than the other? So this, I think, is a common thing in long-term marriages. My wife never wants to have sex, or my husband has ED and he's afraid to even try. Okay. We have to try. We have to be open to being intimate with our partners. Yeah, you might not feel super hot. You might feel like, there's a little more jiggle with the wiggle, whatever it is. You don't feel sexy. Put on a white tank top and live your best life, okay? Conceal some indelicacies that you're not that proud of, and whatever, talk dirty. Whatever it takes. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, in order to have a healthy sexual relationship, especially in long-term marriages, there should never be, I want more sex than my partner. Because you guys are playing off of each other. I used to say early in my marriage, put a penny in the jar every time we have sex, the first year of marriage or the second year of marriage. And then the third and fourth year, take a penny out every time we have sex. You'll be left with like $1.25. I mean, it's funny, but think about that over time. Like, there are years where you're going to have sex every week, and there are 5-year chunks where you'll be lucky to have sex every month. Things get in the way, but what can't get in the way is our inability to say, I need you. I want you. It's been too long. Can we just lay together? Whatever it is, like, we can't, because of the actual act and maybe our inability to perform the act, we can't remove all the other sexual things. It's just so. It's debilitating in a marriage and in your sexual well-being. So obviously getting older is inevitable. Don't I know it? Growing distant doesn't have to be. Sexual health isn't about being young. It's about staying connected to your partner, your body, and yourself. That's what I'm all about. That's a way to level up your sexuality, a way to level up your sexual health. I'm going to play another song. I heard this song so long ago. I mean, I'm so old, people. Some of you are going to be like, oh my God, play something from this century. I can't help it. This is a Queen song. And I remember the first time I heard it, like, I had a feeling low, a low rumbling, if you get my drift. And I was just like, that is so hot. So I'm going to play a little bit of it. It's kind of a long song and it's very graphic, but, you know, it's Queen.
Time. bed, everybody get down, make love. Get down, make love. Get down, make love. Get down, make love. Every time I get high, you wanna move down. Every time I get high, you say you wanna go down. You say it's enough, it's like it's too much. Every time I get high, get down, get down, get down, make love.
Freddie Mercury really was talented, wasn't he? Just wowsy, wow, wow. So I talked on my last show about the book Stoicism. And this is so ironic because today's reading, which I didn't have time to read it this morning, and I just brought the book and I was like, I'll just see what it is if it's appropriate. So I peeked before the show started and I was like, really? Really, universe? It's so prescient. With the World Cup going on and all that things. The title of today's reading is Repetition is Power. It's the first quote comes from Epictetus. It's from Discourses. He's a Stoic, whatever his name is. Epictetus, whatever. It's E-P-I-C-T-E-T-U-S. Epictetus. Anyways, here's his quote. Do what you have to do as many times as it takes. Seriously. In the arena, Cristiano Ronaldo is one of the most decorated soccer players in history, yet his success has never been about talent alone. From his teenage years at Sporting Lisbon to his prime at Manchester United, Real Madrid, and beyond, Ronaldo built his career on a reputation for obsessive training. Teammates tell stories of him being the first to arrive and the last to leave practice, staying long after drills ended to make hundreds of free kicks, headers, and sprints until his body was drenched in sweat. That's a good picture. Even at the peak of his career, when most would rely on natural ability, he refined his game through countless repetitions. His precision on the pitch was not luck. It was the muscle memory of thousands of hours spent doing the same movements again and again. When asked about his edge, Ronaldo said, "Talent without working hard is nothing." So here's your marching orders. Why does this matter? The Stoic understands that excellence is not an event, but a practice. Repetition is not glamorous, but it turns effort into instinct. Power is built one deliberate act at a time until what once felt impossible becomes natural. So this is how you put it to work. Identify one skill or habit you want to master. Instead of chasing shortcuts, commit to showing up and repeating it daily. Precision is not built by desire, but by reputation, again and again, until it becomes who you are. So start every day saying to your partner, I hope we can have a few intimate moments today. Say it every day. Make it part of your vocabulary, how you talk to each other. Repetition builds practice. Repetition makes it become natural. I don't know. But here's my personal thing of something that I want to get better at, which is meditation and expansive breathing. So I've been doing on and off for years, for a long time. I mean, I had septic pneumonia one time, probably like 15 years ago. And I was really sick. And when I came home after being hospitalized, I hired a yoga breathing coach to come to the house to teach me expansive breathing. And, you know, over the years, whatever, who cares, don't need it, not coughing, lungs are fine, blah, blah, blah. Well, now I'm in a situation where, coughing, lungs are not fine. And the older you get with the limitations that I personally have, rheumatoid arthritis, some spinal issues, you tend to go in, get small. Whether that's your posture gets worse and you're like crouching over, leaning over, whatever it is, that lessens your lung capacity. So what do I want to get better at? I want to get better at meditation and yoga breathing. Not taking a yoga class, not having a meditation coach. I did meditation through COVID with a coach over Zoom. And I have lots of recordings of that, and I'm happy to use those. But I have my own meditation technique. I did it yesterday in the afternoon, and I did it today before coming to the show. I can get myself to a meditative state, not easily, but within 100 seconds, I can do it, within 100 count. And the breathing, I can do sustained yoga breathing for 5 minutes, which is a good amount of time. But I want to get Ronaldo efficient, proficient. So that's my calling from the Stoics. Let me just circle back real quick here to sexual health. Our wrinkles tell stories. Our gray hair tells stories. Our changing bodies tell stories. But none of these stories mean intimacy has to end. Sexual health isn't about looking younger. It's about feeling connected, feeling healthy, and giving ourselves permission to keep living fully. And a full life includes sex. I've heard stories, you know, over the years. I talk to people. I've lived a long life. And I remember in my early 20s, I had a friend and she was in this relationship with this guy. And she's like, I don't think he likes me. Like, he's not trying to have sex with me. Like, they'd had sex, but it just wasn't like a big part of their relationship. She was like, I just think he has like a low sex drive. And I remember thinking, what a weirdo. Oh my God, what 20-year-old guy doesn't want to have sex every day? But you know what? That was terrible. But I was young. But in your 20s, the sexual act is an act. If you've been in a long relationship, I'm 34 years married to the same man. That's my sexual partner. I see how sex obviously has changed over our marriage, and not talking about my sex too much because my sister said I'm not sure I want to listen to a radio show where my sister talks about sex. And I get that. But let me just say that having sex every day is a phase. Just like having less sex as you age is a phase. Just like a quickie in the closet is a phase. Just like taking 2 hours for the prep and the recovery is a phase. These are all phases. These are all natural. These are all normal. These are all parts of a fulfilled sexual life. So let's try to take away the embarrassment. Let's try to take away the stigma. If you have some issues, talk to a doctor. There are things that can be done. There are supplements. There are prescriptions. There are ways to increase libido, to increase desire, to increase comfort, to increase performance. And, like, why wouldn't you take the time to discover that? This is a big part of your wellness. I know that as I've gotten healthier, that, you know, my body has changed, not just physically, but the way I feel about my body. Like, you know, I have muscles that I can feel, like, what that must feel like. Like, it must feel different to my husband. And, like, that's really cool. Like, I'm proud of that. Because there were years where I didn't feel good about my body. And whatever, however my body was showing up, like, maybe that wasn't optimum. But now I'm putting in all this work with the exercise and the weight training to make sure that the body that shows up for intimacy is a body I feel good in. Because me feeling good about myself is just as important as him feeling good about me. I'm going to play another song because that's what I do. This song is a sex song. This is a song that makes the panties drop. And I'm sorry. Play this song and we're going to have sex. I hope my husband's listening.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. Oh, I'm on fire. Tell me now, baby, is he good to you? And can he do to you the things that I do? Oh, no. I can take you high. Like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my skull. At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire.
Short and sweet. Nobody gets it like the boss. While that song was playing, I was thinking of something. What was I thinking about? This is what happens when you're old. You start thinking about something, and then the next thing you know, you don't know what you were thinking about. I'm going to take a sip of water. I know that. Oh, I know. I was going to talk about July, the rest of the month. So today's the 2nd. Obviously, I'm here. My next show is on the 16th, and my sister is going to be on the show. We're going to do a little episode of Off the Rails with Shani and Danny, and we're going to talk about swimming, because swimming is transforming her life in a way that it's transformed my life and many other lives. And her passion for swimming is something that makes me so happy, and we're going to talk about all things swimming. Then, July 30th, which is going to be my last show of the month, I have my elementary school friends. My girls' trip starts on July 21st. We're going to be in Arizona for a few days. Then we go to San Diego. Then we come back to Santa Rosa. And on July 30th, all six of us are going to be in the studio just talking about our friendship and how we've known each other. And everyone's going to tell their story about how they know each one of us and just the overlap of that and what it's like to grow up in a small town in the Midwest in the 60s and 70s with a core group of friends. And what it's like to lose touch for decades and reconnect thanks to the joy of social media, and what those relationships look like now. And I think it's going to be a really good show. I think my show on swimming is going to be really good, and I hope you'll tune in for both of those. Now, when I was looking up songs for this show, you know, I just did like some random searches. I got some suggestions. But one of the suggestions said the sexiest song for to add to your lovemaking playlist is Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. And yeah, I mean, I think that's a good song. There's also a song that I heard when I was in Arizona that I was like, oh, I want to play that on the radio. It's called Love Me Anyway by Pink, and it features Chris Isaak. And I don't know that that's like a panty dropper, but it's like a deep feeling song about no matter what, you're going to love me anyway. So I'm going to play some I'm on Fire and some Love Me Anyway and see what kind of time's left over and come back and close out the show. All right, so here's I'm on Fire. No. Wicked Game. Listen to me, I'm so confused. Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. Such a sexy song. I really don't know. I mean, I don't know that I think it is. I think it's really the music. So maybe, although people do love his voice too. Anyways, I'm going to play Love Me Anyway by Pink featuring Chris Stapleton. I think that's going to be it for me. But the book on Stoicism, a good one if you want a daily reading. And let's take care of each other, okay? Let's level up. Level up our wellness, all aspects of our wellness, from our heart to our heart on. Too much? Was that too much? Nobody wants to hear that? Oh, well, sorry. With you.
Even if you see my scars, even if I break your heart, if we're a million miles apart, do you think you'd walk away? If I get lost in all the noise, even if I lose my voice, flirt with all the other boys, what would you say? Could you? For better or for worse, or am I just your good time girl? Can you still hold me when it hurts, or would you walk away? Even if I scandalize you, cut you down, criticize you, tell a million lies about you, what would you say? Could you? Could you?